We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. What a beautiful day it is out there, and it's going to be a great show. We got plenty of people coming on the show in the next week. I have a gentleman from Woodward on tomorrow that was talking about the new deal they have at the State Fair of Oklahoma as far as growing vegetables. And these are big boy vegetables. It's just like Mrs. Harrison out here last year grew the state record pumpkin, and but I know this year I helped her weigh in the state record cantaloupe. 38 pounds, 3 ounces, if I remember it right. Went over there and helped her weigh it at the post office on some official scales. Anyway, I finally seen Tyler here last weekend or the weekend before Labor Day, and asking me if it was any good because the cantaloupe smelt good. And you guys all know that if the cantaloupe smells good, it means it is good. And he said, yeah, he said they fed like 20 families off of that cantaloupe. So anyway, all's good there. Today is the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Cap Hour, all hour. So anyway, we'll talk more about Dr. Mouse and her vet center down there here later. Lots of things going on. I think I'm ready for the show now. I come in, I got in here. It usually takes me an hour to get ready, but I only had like 30 minutes today. I've been out at the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County this morning, and I'll have some interviews with some of the students and the instructors later on this week in the show. You don't want to miss that. The Clarendon College out of Clarendon, Texas. 24 kids were out there, plus their instructors. They came out this morning, and they're part of the cattle and feedlot operations class. And a really good set of kids, young people, if you want to say that, ladies and gentlemen, and the instructors were really good. Jimmy's out there. They're probably having lunch right now, and they just came out to visit the Taylor Ranch to see the operations that Jimmy and Tracy do out there. And don't forget Jesus. You know, you guys all remember Jesus from the Berlin Fire. Too much smoke, Jimmy, too much smoke. Anyway, he's funny. That guy is funny. And he did tell me today that I gave him a Today in Ag KCO hat. He said he only wears it to town. He doesn't wear it on the ranch. He only wears it when he's dressed up. So anyway, he said he was going to the Sayre Rodeo this weekend, the short grass rodeo Friday and Saturday. You guys don't forget about that. It's going to be a good time. But the kids are learning operations all the way from AIN to conservation on grass and all kinds of stuff. But we'll get with them. I'll get their interviews all produced up, and I'll air them on the show later this week. You don't want to miss them. But really, it's really cool to see kids come out that want to be in agriculture, because it's a tough time for agriculture. And they're from all over Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico. So really, really cool. I thought it was a very good experience for me, too, to meet some young kids that have agriculture in their future. So anyway, well, let's check out. Dang, I already got a text message. It's from my wife. Don't forget the rodeo. She wants me to remember the rodeo. Anyway, remember the rodeo this weekend. All right, let's get on with it. Futures, let me update it real quick. And I will warn you, I didn't take my allergy pill today. I'm trying to not take allergy pills, but sometimes you got to. Corn, September, $7.11. December, $6.91. March corn, $6.95. May corn, $6.95. Soybeans, September, $15.25. November, $14.85. January, $14.90. Soybeans 1488, May 1487. Soybean meal, September $464.70. October 432.40. December 427.30. Soybean oil, September 72 even. October 69.33. December 67.06. Hard red winter wheat, September $9.46. Made somebody panic there for just a split second, didn't I? Hard red winter wheat for December, $9.37. Oats, September $4.24. December $4 even. Let's come down here and see what cotton's doing. CME cotton number 2, October $1.10 a pound, and cotton for December is $1.05 per pound. Let's see what oil and all that good stuff's doing, see if anything drastic's going on. All the currencies are in the red, that's for a starter. Natural gas is still hanging down there below the 850 mark, anywhere from 827 to 845. Crude oil is down today. It's around $85.96 a barrel. And that's about it. Let's check out the Texas and Oklahoma cash prices at the elevators. Let's see here. There we go. Hard red winter wheat, $8.88. Corn is $7.71. Milo is $7.06. And soybeans are $15.10 a bushel. All right, let's check out what's going on. I got two segments to do on grains today. The reports come out yesterday on what's happening with our supplies and our what the futures look like as far as total amounts of corn, soybeans, and all that good stuff, what they think is going to happen and what they put out yesterday. Wheat futures jumped in overnight trading on concerns that Russia will disrupt grain exports from Ukraine. The Ukraine Minister of Foreign Affairs, I'm not even going to try to say his name, reportedly said in an interview with RBC Ukraine that Russia likely will disrupt an agreement that allows Ukrainian agriculture products safe passage to importing countries. Honestly, my opinion on the deal, I'm surprised Russia's doing it anyway, because all they do is, yes, the farmers get their share of the money over there, but that's just help fuel, you know, with money to help fight the war. And it looks like Ukraine's kind of kicking some tail in over there. They're moving them back, so that's a good thing. He said the government is working with Turkey and the United Nations, which originally brokered the deal that was signed in late July, to ensure the agreement remains in place. The Russian President Putin in recent weeks has accused Ukraine of shipping grains only to wealthy European countries instead of African nations where it's most needed because of hunger. Ukraine countered by showing exactly where the shipments have gone since the agreement took effect. The Turkey President, a Putin ally, concurred with the Russian President despite evidence from Ukraine. In the U.S., meanwhile, 85% of the spring crop was harvested at the start of the week, just behind the prior five-year average of 89%, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said in its report yesterday. Winter wheat growers have planted 10% of the crop as of Sunday, ahead of the normal 7% this time of the year. Soybean futures jumped overnight as the condition of the U.S. crop dropped in the 7 days it ended on Sunday. About 56% of soybeans were in good or excellent condition at the start of the week. That's down from 57% last week or the week earlier. That's also down from 57% that earned top ratings at the same point last year. 22% of the crop was dropping leaves, behind the prior five-year average of 28%, and pod setting was all but complete. Some 53% of the U.S. corn crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, down from 54% the previous week. A quarter of the crop was mature, behind the average at 30% for this time of the year. 5% was harvested ahead of normal 4% for this time of the year, according to the USDA. Wheat surged 12.5 cents to $8.71 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 12 big Lincoln pennies to $9.39 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 15 and a half cents to $15.03 a bushel. Soy meal fell $1 to $433.60 a short ton, while soybean oil gained 1.34 cents to 67.83 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was up 0.75 cents to $6.96.75 a bushel. Inspections of corns and beans declined week to week while wheat assessments increased. According to the USDA, corn assessments in the 7 days that ended on September 8th totaled 446,620 metric tons. And that's down from 531,000 tons a week earlier. But it's still way above the 179,000 tons last year that was inspected this same time period. Soybean inspections were lower, topping out at 329,225 metric tons, and that's down from 500,000 tons the previous week. So not half, but close to it. The total was higher than 193,894 tons examined same point last year in 2021. Wheat inspections, meanwhile, they jumped to 736,515 metric tons last week. That's up from 538,000 tons a week earlier and 560,000 tons same time last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 558,699 tons of corn for overseas delivery. That's up 218,000 tons from last year. Soybeans, 381,524 tons. That's up from 224,000 tons, same period last year. Wheat assessment since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st now stands at 6.4 million metric tons. That's down from 7.18 million tons examined at the same point a year earlier. All right, enough about grains for the moment. Let's see what the weather is doing in the midsection of our nation. Extremely dry weather. I have some people ask me why I do the weather for the Midwest, Southern Plains, and the far north, because what goes on around there in those areas affects prices on crops and stuff, and guess what? That affects us. It's just like bad weather down here affects crops, prices up there. Same thing. It just affects crops all the way around. Extremely dry weather may lead to wildfires this afternoon and early evening in parts of western Nebraska, western South Dakota, and eastern Wyoming, according to the National Weather Service. In western and north central Nebraska, winds will be sustained at 20 to 30 miles an hour with wind gusts over 35 miles an hour. Humidity will be very low in that region. In eastern Wyoming and western South Dakota, red flag warning has been issued for this afternoon. Warm temperatures, low humidity, and breezy southwest winds will continue to create critical fire weather conditions. Looking ahead, isolated thunderstorms are possible in the same area starting tomorrow. So everybody say a prayer for them people that they get that up there, because we know what it's like to be dry around western Oklahoma, Oklahoma Panhandle, and Texas Panhandle. So we know very well how it goes. I am going to come on here today and tell you guys that I didn't put out fake news, but I'm going to correct myself and tell you that I was wrong. When we started getting these rains 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said that, you know, there's a chance that our grass is going to green back up and grow a little bit. That's going to be about it. Well, I've been driving through the country the last 3 or 4 days, and I'm going to tell you that I was way wrong. The grass grew really good. And there's some people cutting some hay again that cut earlier this summer in some grass that grew enough to grow. I was wrong. I just figured it's been dry so long. The grass down there in Greer County, where my cattle operation is, most of it is, that grass was dormant. It looked like a desert down there. And even after we started getting rains, it took it a long time, because that's tight ground down there versus this some of the sandy ground in parts of Beckham County. It it took it a long time to green up, and I wouldn't I figured it'd just green up and that'd be it, but grass everywhere is growing. When I took the back way from the Taylor Ranch today, the Plains Blue Stem and some Bermuda and some native grass looks really good. So anyway, I was wrong, and I'll be honest with you, I was glad I was wrong, because it benefits everybody. Well, when we come back, we'll talk cattle, prices, futures, feeder, live. Got results from the sale barns at Western Oklahoma Livestock, and we got results from the Elk City Livestock Auction, and Woodward is going on right now.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good afternoon, Western Oklahoma, and all you great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 12th. 1,723 head were sold, 3 head of steers at 395, brought 207, 9 at 511, brought 170, 6 at 559, brought 185.50, 12 at 684, brought 162, 8 at 706, brought 181.75, 16 at 732, brought 176, 25 at 811, brought 175.75, 11 head of heifers at 460, brought 165, 4 at 490, brought 165, 11 at 543, brought 162, 3 at 622, brought 172, 12 at 683, brought 153.50, 20 at 744, brought 149, 9 at 1034, brought 134, butcher cows were 35 to 99, butcher bulls brought 50 to 117, pairs were 1225 to 1400. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Opening in this office has been phenomenal. I think part of the reason is because of our prices. You don't have to take out a mortgage to buy hearing aids. A lot of people won't even look into it because of the horror stories they've heard about prices. They've been quoted $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 per set. I have $1,750, $2,250, and I have a set with Bluetooth, remote control, and everything for $2,450. Quality is just as good. Yeah, our prices are cheaper. Yeah.
And if you buy a rechargeable set before October, you get a free remote control.
My name is Clint Higginbotham. I'm a certified hearing aid specialist with Caring Hearing Aid Services. Our Elk City location is inside Dr. Perkins' office at 601 West 3rd. The phone number is 821-2299. The Clinton location is about 50 feet north of Mazio's on Gary Boulevard, 1906 Gary Boulevard to be exact. The phone number there is 275-2904. Try hearing better and try having more fun.
Introducing the newest flavor of our extreme chemical drink, Jittery Berry! Jam-packed with stuff that will make you dehydrated and weak. Sugar, sugar, sugar!
Hold up. All the sugar and caffeine and energy drinks will only make you crash. Next time you need a boost, try something refreshing and natural. Water. It helps you feel energized and keeps your muscles working at full strength without jitters or cramps. Stay strong, drink water, visit swapupok.com.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I don't know if you're watching on Facebook, but I'm holding it up right there. I wanted to thank Miss Lori White again from Putnam of the B&L Red Angus Ranch up there for my cup that she brought in when they come in here 2 or 3 weeks ago or a month ago. Anyway, this is the best stainless steel cup I had. So thank you again, Lori and Benji, for the cup that you gave me. All right. Let's see what's happening. I didn't remember to do the weather earlier. My wife's listening today, so I got to be careful. Anyway, 87 degrees at Hollis, 87 at Shamrock, Texas, 83 at Arnett, 84 at Butler, 85 at Putnam, home of the B&L Red Angus Ranch, Lori and Benji White, 85 at Woodward, 87 at Beaver. Looks like the hot spot in Oklahoma right now is Hooker and Goodwell. There is 90 degrees even. And Canadian, Texas, you're coming in there about 84 degrees. So anyway, I will have your northwestern Oklahoma forecast coming up for you the next segment, and then the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma coming up for you shortly. All right, let's check out some stuff going on with live cattle real quick. If it'll, my brain works faster than a computer. That's weird, isn't it? Because everybody knows me, and I'm not very, very, I'm slow. Anyway, live cattle for October, 144.70. December is 150.22. February is 154.50. April is 157.85. September, feeder cattle, down quite a bit today, 220 actually, 179.32. October is 180.30. October lean hogs is 95.02, December 85.02, and February is 89.10. You know, it's funny, I'm sitting here reading this, or not funny, but it's coincidental that I'm sitting here reading the feeder cattle. I was talking to a gentleman last night from down south in Beckham County, and he was just, you know, I talk to my old buddy about this all the time, and, you know, it's wrong for the when corn and soybeans go up, the cattle prices go down. It's just wrong. It's like, you know, they're messing the producers, cattle producers over just to make up the difference. They, you know, it's just one of those deals. It's been that way as long as I can always remember. And why they do it, I don't know. But today, it's true. I mean, live cattle and feeder cattle are down quite a bit because grains are way up. And it hurts the cattle producers. I don't know what to do about it, but it does. Let's see here. Let's check out what happened at Elk City Friday and compare it to what happened at Western Oklahoma yesterday. 1,965 head sold at Elk City Friday. Check out some steer prices here. We got some 375 pounders, $232. Some 405 pounders from Mangum, Oklahoma, $212. Raiden, 439 pounders, $225. From Wheeler, Texas, 516 pounders, $207. Elk City, 548s, 539s, 191. And some cutter bulls from Elk City, 548s, brought $1.73. From Mobedi, Texas, 555-pound steers, 188. Then we get some 593s from Crawford, 185.50. And Mountain View, Oklahoma, 12 head, 674 pounds, brought $1.71 a pound. On the heifer side, we got, let me see here, 401 pounders, 186.50. 432s from Carter, 180. Shamrock, Texas, 458 pounders, 178. From Altus, Oklahoma, big load of heifers, 559, 167.50. From Wellington, Texas, 29 head, brought 165, weighing 564. From Allison, Texas, 13 head, 652 pounders, 157.50, and from Canadian, Texas, 718-pound heifers, 164. Let's see what the butchers were bringing. Anyway, butcher cows were bringing up to $1.04 a pound. Butcher bulls up to $1.18 a pound. Bred cows bringing $13.50, and pairs were bringing up to $18.50. So we ease on over here, since I got about a minute or so left for this segment. Ease over here to the Western Oklahoma livestock auction. Steers, let's just briefly go through some of these. 493 pounders, 204. 517, 190, some 695 pound steers, 182, some 732s, 176, 811s, 175, 75. On the heifer side, they had some 490s, brought 165, some weaned ones weighing 525, brought $1.78. And we had some 600 pounders up to $1.72. No 800 pounders. We had some 954 pounders, brought 142.50. And they had some cows and bulls over there too. Butcher bulls bringing up to butcher cows bringing up to 99 cents a pound, penny short of a dollar. Butcher bulls 117. No bred cows, but they had some pairs bringing 1400. So that's what's happening in the deal. So, like I said earlier, Woodward's happening right now with their might already be done with their bull and cow sale tomorrow. Hobart Stockyards will be having their weekly sale Thursday. Back up to Woodward Friday. We got Elk City Saturday. Hollis. Everybody takes Sunday off. Monday back to Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at their east of Clinton on 940. Well, I did a. I tried to play a joke on my buddy over there at south of Sarah here earlier. I was looking at some stuff on the webpage, and I took a picture of some corn that's ready, almost ready to thrash down in Alabama, and I'm growing some corn with the help of Mr. Darrell from Hoover, from Hobart, and down at our place, and I took a picture of that. He's growing corn, too, and he planted his corn 3 weeks earlier than me. And I thought I'd get him, or at least get him riled up or something, but it didn't happen. He just said, I sent him a picture of this corn. He said, "Well, your corn matures quicker than mine." I was like, whatever. And so that's all I could get out of him, what fun that is. And then I sent one to Darrell, and Darrell was like, "Looks good." And I was like, "Come on, you guys ain't no fun today." Anyway, when we come back, I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma and Northeastern Texas Panhandle forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Again, good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 9th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,965 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 324 brought 238. 5 at 426 brought 212. 8 at 478 brought 203. 19 at 529 brought 193. 5 at 555 brought 188. 11 at 629 brought 171. 5 at 709 brought 168. 3 head of heifers at 258 brought 194. 12 at 462 brought 170. 4 at 538 brought 165. 5 at 575 brought 155. 7 at 677 brought 166. 53 at 802 brought 150. 7 at 874 brought 146. Butcher cows were 42 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 72 to 118. Bred cows were 800 to 1350. Pairs brought 600 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sales every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Things have been flowing for the last few weeks on upholstery, so we've been working on ordering a lot of upholstery and getting some new merchandise in here, getting some of the new colors from market, getting some of the new sectionals, some of the new styles. So all that is on order. And the next few weeks at Terry's Furniture, we're going to fill this rascal back up, and we're going to have plenty of upholstery. And if you haven't been to Terry's Furniture lately, you haven't been to Terry's Furniture, because we've got a whole new design on our floor. We've eliminated some of our aisles. We've packed more couches in. We've packed more sectionals in. I've still got about 140 different styles of Lazy Boys on the floor. So now is the time to start getting that new furniture in your living room. Now is the time to make your house look nice for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, when you got the family coming in. It's just a good time of year to shop, and selections are good. We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City. We're right behind the McDonald's, right off of exit 38 on I-40.
That's at Terry's Furniture Showroom.
Doug Gray Auto Group in Elk City and Sayre would like to thank everyone for making us number one. For the best deals on a new or pre-owned Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Ram, Jeep, Dodge, or Chrysler, nobody treats you better than Doug Gray. With convenient locations in Elk City and Sayre, for sales, parts, and award-winning service. We make it easy. Thanks again, and visit us online at DougGrayAutoGroup.com.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, this must be Pick on Jimmy Day. I got one guy. Let's see, what did he say? He said, so your corn is probably what drove cattle prices down. Yeah, probably so. I only got 40-something acres down there, but whatever you think. And then another listener, won't mention no names, I love Drew's imitation of you. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, he does that steward of the land pretty good. But I'm glad somebody gets a giggle today. And then another listener texts in, said, a lot of grass still dormant down here in Harmon County. Just didn't quite get enough rain in those last little bits to turn it, and you're very correct, sir. Harmon County and part of Jackson County in a very southwest corner, Oklahoma, they're in the D4 drought. So anyway, hoping you guys get rain soon. Well, let's check out the forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and the panhandle up there and parts of Kansas. I'm getting your coverage area down pretty good. So anyway, I love it. There were up there this afternoon, 95 for a high, sunny. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 92. It's going to be kind of windy this week, by the way. Thursday, we got a chance of thunderstorms now in the forecast. Slight chance, but I'll take slight over none. 20%, high of 89. Friday, 92, and Saturday back up to 95 degrees. And through Thursday, looks like we're going to have winds from 15 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 20, 25, just average over the last 3 days. So that's your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and the northeastern part of Texas Panhandle. Well, today is the Stockman's Veterinarian Happy Cap Hour. And, of course, they're my hat sponsor. If you're watching on Facebook, you can see my hat that I got on. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main Street, right here in Elk City. And yes, it is the same building that Dr. Ansfall and Dr. Fred Rule were in. If you know those guys, they're legends around here. And Dr. Taylor Mouse, she is starting her own legend already. She is going to be a legend. She is awesome veterinarian. So anyway, I love her to death. And I can't tell the difference between her and her mom when they answer the phone. Of course, yesterday when Christy answered the phone, she said, oh yeah, I'm the prettier one. So I'm not getting in the middle of that conversation between a mom and a daughter. But anyway, Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200. Easy number to remember, 580-225-0200, or stop by and let Dr. Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. Anyway, they do care. Hot off the press, off my email I just got, Kevin Wagner, who is the director of the Oklahoma Water Resources Center at Oklahoma State University, will be on the show next Monday. I'm excited. He's going to talk about the deal that they teamed up with Texas A&M University for a $1.7 million project to study benefits of agriculture and on the water in Oklahoma and Texas. So he'll be on here. You don't want to miss that. He's coming on about halfway through the show, about 12:30, and probably take the rest of the show that day besides the weather forecast. He's a very interesting guy, and water is a plus in Western Oklahoma and in the Texas Panhandle and parts of Kansas and the northern Texas, North Texas there. So anyway, don't miss that on the show. It's a really cool project they got going on, and they've already got some of the stuff set up down at Altus and monitoring the water stuff down in there. So really cool stuff. And you know what is? Tuesdays are always heyday. Tuesday heydays. I got a couple articles on, or not articles, but subjects I want to talk to you about fall alfalfa. One of them is a fall alfalfa kill is always easier. There comes a time in the life of every alfalfa stand when you must say goodbye. Even with careful nurturing them, all alfalfa fields lose productivity over time, and they do. I just got done with mine last year, and it was sad to see it go, but it had to happen. There are many reasons for alfalfa termination. In addition to low productivity, stands can be subject to weed encroachment, which that happens a lot. Previous winter injury, or growers may simply stick to rigid rotation plan and move on to the next crop. Whatever the reasons for terminations, research and farmer experience suggest that there are benefits to killing alfalfa in the fall rather than waiting till next spring. These advantages include, number one, glyphosate works better in the fall when plants are actively translocating their nutrients to their roots. Even so, fall applied glyphosate alone does not often provide a complete kill of alfalfa. Glyphosate, of course, is ineffective on Roundup-ready alfalfa, but may be used in as a tank mix in perennial grasses have encroached into that stand. If growth-regulating herbicides such as 2,4-D or dicamba-based products are used, there's less risk of injury to neighboring fields or susceptible border plants compared to spring. Plant back restrictions are also not an issue as they might be in the spring. A fall kill allows for an earlier planting date in the spring. This might be the most important advantage, as to 4 to 6 inches of alfalfa growth are needed before a spring herbicide kill. For like crops like corn, delayed planting generally translates into a lower yield. Killing stands in the fall allows more time for the alfalfa residue to decompose and perhaps earlier nitrogen availability for another crop. If an inadequate fall kill occurs, spring offers you a second chance to kill it again. Anyway, other considerations, tillage alone is not highly effective in killing alfalfa unless it's aggressive enough to shear roots. Such tillage is not an option for highly erodible soils. And that's what I got over there where my alfalfa was. It's not only sandy, it's blow sand, pure blow sand. But, because alfalfa roots can be anywhere from 2-3 foot long up 10, 15 feet long. So it's hard to kill, but you can get her done. Herbicides need to be applied before a fall killing freeze and when there's sufficient alfalfa vegetation growth. Ideally, the temperature for a few days following the application should be above 50 degrees.
often the combination of a herbicide application followed by some tillage a week or more later provides the best control. An effective herbicide kill needs to be based on the composition of the stand. Although growth-regulating herbicides such as 2,4-D and dicamba in combination are generally successful in terminating alfalfa, they won't kill some grass species. As previous mentioned, this is wherein the glyphosate must be added to that mixture. There you go. All right, prices. Let's see what's happening. It looks like, it looks like the prices that are reported, I'm not talking about going to your neighbor and the one that you don't get along with and asking for a price on hay and thinking you're going to get it for cheap. It looks like all the prices reported this week on alfalfa, for sure, it's pretty stable, maybe up $5 a ton from what was reported. Looks like California and Washington are the highest ones for premium alfalfa. Anywhere California is $340 to $410 a ton. Colorado's $250 to $350. It's all for premium. Kansas, $210 to $300. Missouri's $180 to $300. Nebraska's $250 to $270, New Mexico's $250 to $400, Oklahoma $225 to $280, and I know it's going for more, and Oklahoma, and then Texas $330 to $430. On the grass thing, bales of hay, let's see, not a lot of grass hay sold last week according to this report, but we'll go over some of it. Looks like Alabama, Texas, and Pennsylvania premium grass hay anywhere from a buck or 130 to 310. In Kansas, 120 to 225. Missouri is 175 across the board. Oklahoma, no data available. New Mexico, no data available. Texas, 240 to 300. This is for premium grass. And Washington's getting $400 a ton. Let's see, pretty much that's it. Well, when I come back, we will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you for southwestern Oklahoma and parts of eastern Texas Panhandle.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. Come shop the all-new SUVs arriving daily and let us upgrade your ride. We're giving the most money for your used vehicles regardless of the brand or condition. And don't forget about our service department. Everything from oil changes to tires and more. That's the Barber Dyson difference, only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel, they're built better, they're tough.
They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, pick on Jimmy Day. I can already tell it. Anyway, your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle. Sunny, 92 degrees, wind 13 miles an hour with a gust up to 20 today. Tonight, winds will be 12 to 15 miles an hour again tonight, 65 for a low. Tomorrow, 91. I don't think we got a chance of rain down here in this part of the state Thursday, according to this forecast, but it's going to be cloudy. So you never know when one of those storms will pop up. Thursday, a little bit cooler, 89 degrees. Friday, 90. And Saturday, 93. Man, these temperatures are great. They're just perfect for that corn I'm growing that's driving cattle prices down again. Oh, my gosh, you're such drama sometimes on the text line. Anyway, I got a text from one person that was talking about, because I was talking about Dr. Mouse and Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic today, and because it is, it's a happy cap hour for Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. But anyway, sorry, but I love my guys at Circle M. Well, guess what? I use both of them. And Taylor's uncle works over there at Circle M Veterinarian Clinic, and they are actually sponsor of my ag updates every morning here on KECO. But they're good. Both of them are good. I use them both because even Dr. Mouse or any a veterinarian will tell you, you know, it's maybe good to have another vet in your pocket in case something comes up that one can't get to the other and the other one can. So be nice to both of them. Go by and see both of them, interact, be social with any vet in your area. It doesn't have to be here in Elk City. It can be in Hobart or be up Woodward or Wheeler or whatever's going on, or Shamrock. Just be nice to all the vets, and that way you get in a jam and you can't get a hold of one, maybe you can get a hold of the other and get something done. Because when a cow's got one hung up, baby hung up in there, there's, you can't get it out. There's no time for any of that. So anyway, I love them both. Both veterinarians, we use them both. And actually, we have a third vet for our dogs that we use here in Elk City. So I got it covered. I don't know if my dog vets can come out and pull a calf in the middle of a blizzard, but it won't hurt to ask. You never know. Probably not, but we'll see what goes on with that deal. All right, what else we got going on here? Let's see. Oh, drought mitigation is ongoing, and it's still happening. As you just heard on one of my text messages, that their grass is still dormant down there in Harmon County, and I'm pretty sure Jackson County. Although summertime is in the rearview mirror now, drought concerns linger in many regions. The combination of dryness and heat not only warrants slow plant growth in short term, but it also can lead to long-term damage in the perennial forage stands. In regard to the grazing systems, Vanessa Olson, a forage specialist with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, and Jamie Foster, an agronomist from the Texas A&M AgriLife Research, says drought damage will be less severe if forage and livestock are managed properly during these periods of low moisture. This includes adjusting stocking rates, modified grazing tactics, and planning ahead for the future years. And I know you guys hear me talk a lot about Jimmy Taylor. Well, Jimmy Taylor is just somebody that's close to here. He's very knowledgeable. He runs a nice commercial Angus copper, a really nice commercial grass operation there in Roger Mills County on the Taylor Ranch. There's some good ranches in Roger Mills County. This morning, I rode with him in his pickup out to his cattle guard to meet the buses coming from the Clarendon Cottage, and both instructors driving the buses that they had it on speaker system, and they took a small tour before he came to a stop, a couple mile tours. So during this tour, we crossed the cattle guard, and Jimmy brought attention to some cows that were on the north side of the road. And this is planning, because I'm not that good, but this is planning. He told all these students on the buses as we was driving that the cows that were in this pasture right here were, if needed, going to be his cull cows. I don't remember the number, don't matter, but he already had his cull cows separated in case something happened with the water, something happened with the grass. Luckily, we've all got some rain in most of the areas in western Oklahoma, but it probably won't have to call him. But he already had his cows called out in a separate package, pasture, in case that it was needed. That's planning. That's all I can tell you. He already had them ready to go if needed, but looking at his grass out there, hopefully he doesn't need it. Now, water issue might be a whole different ballgame. They got four pastures on the 12,000-acre Taylor Ranch that does not have water in it. So, anyway, never know when that's going to happen. When drought conditions cause forage production to decline, reduce stocking rates to prevent overgrazing. The specialists advise culling old cows, open cows, and those with poor dispositions. They also recommend contacting a veterinarian to come out and conduct pregnancy checks and access animals for health issues that warrant eliminations from the herd. Another opinion or another option to limit stocking rates to wean calves and sell them early. And all this has been going on pretty much around here. But we're not out of the drought and things going on, you know, it depends on our wheat pasture, winter forage. We'll see what goes on. This will not only lower the numbers of animals on the pasture, but it also lower the cows' forage consumption and nutrient requirements as they will no longer be milking them babies, giving them babies some milk. Anyway, either way, don't hesitate to adjust stocking rates at early signs of drought. The longer decisions to decrease livestock numbers are delayed, the sooner forage supplies will be exhausted. Delaying the decision to reduce the stocking rate during a drought accelerates financial losses of that enterprise. Once a new herd size has been established, be strategic about pasture strategies. Leave 3 to 4 inches of stubble height over a grazing event to protect critical growing points on plants and safeguard root systems. This is so important. I don't know, people, you hear about it all the time, but man, it's so important. Back in the 2011 drought, I noticed some guys just kept hanging on to their cattle, and I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm just, they, you know, it took them years to build this herd up, and they just wanted to hold on as long as they could, and I don't blame them, because I'm not saying I'm not guilty of that, but they it was grubbed down to the ground, I mean, bare ground, and with the heat going on, root damage was done, a lot of grass was killed during the 2011 drought in certain areas of western Oklahoma and out in the Texas Panhandle, and still hasn't recovered yet as of today. So be careful with what you do. And there's probably 20 to 30 degrees difference in the ground temperature with 4 to 6 inch grass still there versus just ate off to the bare to the ground. So you can, and when the ground's hotter, more damage done to your grass. So anyway, there's Also, it just limits your drought damage in the future. So when the drought is over, hopefully it will get over. La Nina's still hanging in there a little bit. It's not quite neutral. Test your soil fertilization and apply nutrients and lime accordingly. Get it back to good health and everything will be good. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. Just listen to people. Check with your OSU Extension, your Texas AgriLife Extension agents. They'll help you out. If they can't, they'll get you in contact with the right people. Can't wait till tomorrow. See if I got some crazy texts left here. Yes, they are. All vets in Elk City are wonderful in their own way. Have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.